I'm going to start off today reading in the book of John, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. A few weeks ago, I started teaching in the high school class, and we spent a lot of time on this parable of the vine and the branches. Like so many times when I'm called on to teach, I come away with a different perspective. This morning, I want to talk about three different points. And there are a lot of wonderful points. And there is a really great in-depth study in this parable that can change your perspective if you so choose. But I only have time for three points. One, the true vine. Two, cut off and pruned. And three, abiding. In this part of John, Jesus is getting closer to his crucifixion. Jesus has already had his triumphal entrance into Jerusalem. He has already predicted his death. He has washed his disciples' feet. He's predicted Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial. We are nearing the end of the Lord's Supper. Jesus knows what is about to happen. Jesus is trying to leave a good message for his apostles to remember once he is gone. Jesus knows what could happen to his 12 disciples if he doesn't speak these words. But there are many things that the 12 disciples still do not understand and will not understand until the Lord rises again. Now that he was about to leave them, is he asking, are the 12 going to leave me once I'm dead? Are they going to go back to the law of Moses again? Would they be tempted to grow apart from one another? Would they be tempted to shrink once they meet hardships? It appears to me that Jesus is preparing them to bear the shock that the world is going to give them after the Lord dies. I want to take a look at the first verse, the first statement that Jesus says. He says that I am the true vine. And I want us to pay attention to the fact that he says, I am the true vine. Because this is a really important part of all of Jesus' treatment, all of Jesus' teaching. Jesus is the true vine. He's not just a vine, but he is the true vine. What does Jesus mean by this, the true vine? I think we can find the meaning of this in 2 Kings chapter 4. Many of you may remember this, but in verse 38, there is a famine in the land. And there is a man, and he is out picking herbs and fruit and gourds. And he comes along this wild vine, and he picks the fruit. And he takes it back to his camp, and he cuts it up, and he puts it into the stew. And as the others start to eat it, they spit it out, and they shout, "What is in this pot of death?" It was gross. It was unpalatable. It was poisonous. It was poisonous because this fruit was taken from a wild vine. But Jesus is not the wild vine. He is contrary to that. He is the true vine. His vine is refined. His vine produces good fruit. That is tasty. That leads us to want more. Jesus's fruit, Jesus's vine is satisfying, and his fruit is healthful. It leads us to a healthy life, not one of death. Jesus wants his 12 disciples in this parable, and he wants us as well to be attached to the true vine. He knows that being attached to the wild vine will lead to death. It will lead to disharmony. It will lead to fighting and backbiting. He wants us to be attached to the true vine. The second point I want us to talk about, I really want to talk about this, is cut off and pruned. The second verse has just literally scared me to death. All of my life, I've hated this verse. And I hated this verse because I don't think I misunderstood it. And it's taken a long time for me to understand it. I always equated to being a branch that was not fruitful. I always equated that to somebody who was unable to bring somebody to the Lord. Well, that scared me. I've never brought anybody to the Lord. I've had conversations with people. But nobody's ever said, "Hey, I want to come have a Bible study with you." They've never said, "Hey, I want to come to church with you." And for years, I was scared I was that branch that was going to get pruned off. There's just no hope for me. That's a scary thought. So I think it's important for us to define what being fruitful is. And I think in order to find out what being fruitful is, we need to visit the fifth chapter of Galatians, starting in verse 22. And appropriately, I think it's appropriate, Paul calls these action words. And I mean, these words produce action. We need to produce that action. He calls these action words fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. So let's read what Paul has to say on the matter. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. These action words Paul has described are in step with what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 15. And he's trying to teach his 12 this through the parable, to be fruitful, to follow these action words. Sometimes I think that this, how the Bible was put together, is sometimes unhelpful. Because right there, the chapter stops. But I think the thought continues. Because the next two verses in chapter 6 show us how to use the last four verses of chapter 5. And it says, brothers, if any one of you are caught in any transgressions, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When it says, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted, I thought, well, maybe I'm going to be tempted by the sin that they have. But I don't think that's how we're going to be tempted. I think we're tempted by being too judgmental, too harsh on that person caught in sin. Because what it says here is that if he's caught in a sin, restore him gently. Don't be too harsh. Don't be more harsh than God is. I think that's the danger of sin. Why is it when we disagree or pass judgment on a fellow Christian, we shrink back? Why do we stop communication? When Paul corrected Peter, did Paul shrink back? Did Paul stop communicating with Peter? Did Peter get offended? Did Peter mutter to his close friends how Paul had overstepped his boundaries? Did Peter say, you don't know what you're talking about, Paul. You weren't at the Last Supper. Oh, Peter didn't say that. Peter didn't think he was something that he was not. Peter had matured when he had denied Christ. And that brings me to the subject of pruning. Pruning to produce more fruit. I often like to think about young Peter. Peter was known for being impetuous. But the older Peter was known for being more thoughtful and wise. And I think we find the answer to that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. It says to endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate. You're not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They discipline us, our fathers discipline us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems present at the time, but it seems painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. What lessons can we learn from Peter enduring his hardship? What lesson can we learn from Judas not enduring his discipline? Peter knew he made a mistake, and he found comfort in the Lord. He asked for forgiveness. He was restored. But Judas, was Judas too hard on himself? Did Judas have such feelings of guilt that he thought that there was no hope for him? Did he not have faith that God could forgive him? Is that why he killed himself? Was he not listening at the Lord's Supper or at the Last Supper? Was he not listening to this parable? I like Peter. He speaks to me. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've gone through a lot of hardships. But there's one thing Peter didn't do. He didn't give up. I'm not giving up either. Enduring hardships mature us. God disciplines us because he loves us. The discipline is not pleasant at the time, but it produces righteousness and peace. Through God's discipline, he is teaching us how to be fruitful. He is teaching us how to be patient. He is teaching us how to be loving. I wonder what Peter learned after he drew his sword and caused bodily damage to the Roman soldier. What did Peter learn after denying he knew Jesus? What do our brothers and sisters learn after they are caught in a transgression? Sometimes it feels like they're not learning anything at all, and we're patient with them for years. But are we like God? Can we be patient with them for a lifetime? At some point in time, we come up with this idea that we can no longer have patience. You know, there's something I've learned from dealing with people. Whether I was training them, whether I was leading them, whether I was serving them. 99.9% of the people I have dealt with always want to do the right thing. And when these people don't do the right thing, it's because they're immature and selfish. God disciplines us, and He knows how to discipline us so that we can learn our lessons. I think that that is a very, very valuable lesson for us all to learn. I'm going to go to my third part, which is abiding. And in verse 4, Jesus tells us to abide or to live in Him. One of these ways to live in Him, in my opinion, is to partake in the Lord's Supper, as we just did. To me, the Lord's Supper is extremely important. It's important to my mental well-being. I am one who is a pessimist. I am one who always looks for the worst. I am the one who always looks for what's going to go wrong next. But the Lord's Supper helps me with those. It helps me with those things. It helps me to realize that I have a Lord and Savior that loves me, and He's willing to forgive me. And He went so far to show me. He went so far as death to show me. The Lord's Supper helps me stay attached to Jesus, the true vine. It helps me to have gratitude for what has been done on my behalf. It reminds me of the one who invented love. It helps me to define love. I look at the loaf. It represents Christ's body, right? So which body am I supposed to remember? Am I to remember the vile, disgusting one that's described in Isaiah 52 and 14? Am I to remember the one that taught me how to love? Am I to remember the one that conquered death? Am I to remember Christ's body that is here today? I have determined by this verse that Jesus wants us to remember all of that. The good and the ugly. When I take the emblems, I consider I'm ingesting the Spirit of Christ. That Spirit lives in me, and I live in that Spirit. That being said, those thoughts, they might not work for you, but they work for me. And I have noticed through my life that those thoughts keep me on the path longer throughout the work or throughout the week. Yet there is another way to abide. In John chapter 1, verse 1, John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14 of the very same chapter tells me that these collections of the Word in this book is Jesus. By looking, reading, and being conformed by it, we are abiding by the true vine. We are living within Him. All other Bibles that do not contain Jesus as being the author and finisher of our faith is one of a wild vine. A vine that is not palatable. A vine that causes death. Something else to consider. When we allow thoughts and feelings contrary to the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, are we really abiding in Christ, the true vine? I'm thinking not. I'm going to give all of you in this room a challenge this week. All of you have some homework. Starting right now, I want you to find a way to live in the Spirit. I want you to love somebody as God defines it. I want you to find something to be joyful about. I challenge you to get rid of the chaos in your life and allow the peace that God provides in your heart. That's it. I challenge you to be patient and allow things to work out. Don't look at every little thing in your life as a crisis. I challenge you to be kind. Have you ever stood at a convenience store buying your coffee and there's a person behind you and you bought their coffee too? Have you ever done that? How'd that make you feel? Sometimes you don't even get a thank you, but you still feel good. I challenge you to follow goodness. Be moral. Show integrity. I challenge you to show your faithfulness. Try being devoted or loyal to somebody else's cause other than yours. I challenge you to be gentle. Choose your words carefully. Try to be less sarcastic. I challenge you to be self-controlled. If you feel like getting upset, remember the previous action steps that Paul wrote for us. Ask yourself this question: what can I do to enrich someone's life this week? What can I do to enrich somebody's life this week? That's really hard because I'm self-absorbed. It's all about me. And I gotta get to work. I gotta take care of my customers. But I need to search for something to enrich somebody else's life. You know, in order to be attached to the true vine, Romans chapter 11 tells us that we need to be grafted into it. There is only one way to be grafted into the true vine, and that is to be baptized. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 proved this. It says that we will be forgiven of our sins and we will receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 3 and 19 tells us that when we repent and are baptized, we're going to have times of refreshing. Who here doesn't want to get refreshed? Nobody? I thought maybe I'd see more hands than none. Romans 11 also tells us something encouraging. After you've been baptized and you've been a part of the church, you can get broken off. That's maybe not so appetizing there. But the appetizing part is this: that branch can get picked up and get grafted back in again. Hallelujah! What a Savior. That's love. That's forgiveness. You're offering the gospel invitation at this time. If there's anyone here who wishes to be a part of this, the Christ body of church, or not Christ church, We're going to give you an opportunity to come forward, to be baptized, to repent of your sins, to receive the Holy Spirit, to have times of refreshing. If you've made a mistake, if you feel like your branch has been broken off, we're going to give you that time as well to come forward and be grafted back in as we stand and speak.